The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute, which is headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith, because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is good to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And as we get the broadcast started, let me give our address information. Our address on the web is equip.org via the mail. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And, of course, as always, you can reach our resource consultants by simply dialing 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Letty, hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Colleen, listening in St. Louis, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Hank. First, I want to thank you for all you do. I want to say that in my 56 years, each and every election is problematic, to say the least. And I want so much to believe that my vote makes a difference. However, how and what am I supposed to believe is being said by the two presidential elects when one has so many hidden facts and truths and waivers from yay to nay on so many important issues? And then he apologizes to other countries and our allies for our and denies our Christian values and defends, you know, I mean, and say that we have none. And then the other one is a Mormonism who practices Mormonism, and which is in itself a very large flash and caution light. I've heard you so many times teach about it. I know you can't tell me how and what to vote, but I'm scared. I don't know which way to turn on this one.
Well, I think we should be legitimately concerned about what is happening to our nation. A lot of people think that our nation will last forever, somehow or other, that we're immune to what has happened to every other great civilization and empire and power in the history of the world. And that is simply not the case. And so while I cannot predict what is going to happen in the future, I can say this: if Christians do not rise up and make their voices count in this election cycle, and not only just in terms of voting for a president, but also in terms of redeeming the culture, not being microcosms of the culture, but being legitimate change agents of the culture. If that doesn't happen, sayonara. I mean, it's just the reality. But this should not keep us at all from being somehow or other kept out of the process of voting. We still have to make a decision, because there are very significant issues at stake here. You noted some of them, but I mean, think about the fact that marriage is being redefined in our culture. I mean, that's the fabric of not only our civilization, but of civilization historically. Think about
it. But Obama flip-flopped on that. And Newt's going to do the same, isn't he? I mean, is he going to get in there and then flip-flop on it again?
Well, I can't say what anyone is or isn't going to do in the future. And I think this is one of the things that you have to take into consideration. I mean, oftentimes what someone's done in the past is a tell in terms of what they're going to do in the future. But still, you have to take into consideration all the converging factors as credibly as you possibly can as a human being. We're all fallible human beings, and then make the best choice at a time where we are drowning in debt. We are immorally passing on debt to future generations. We are completely apathetic, it seems, today with respect to what's happening in terms of the life issue. It's as though we have fetus fatigue. But never forget that since Roe v. Wade We have lost 50 million, enough people to inhabit a country the size of Britain. So these are very significant issues. Francis Schaeffer said that the abortion issue would be the watershed issue of our day. So I don't think we can abdicate our responsibility to vote. We need to make a very credible decision, taking into consideration not just jobs, as important as that is, but also many other factors that either will spell the demise of Western civilization or turn a civilization around. Now, remember, and I've made this point before, the fact that people in power have different spiritual leanings than we do, or may even be involved in cultic practices, does not necessarily become the factor by which they're disqualified as the best choice. We still have to make the best choice with respect to the choices that we have available to us. And there is such a thing as co-belligerency, and that is working together with people of other belief systems on common cause issues, issues like life, issues like the sanctity of marriage, issue like the biblical norms with respect to debt and so forth.
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm a school teacher of 27 years, and it's not our values are demoralizing as we speak. It's scary, and I'm really concerned. And I know the Bible tells us not to worry, and I know that our life is laid out in front of us, and that everything is in the divine plan. But it's just I'm just lost right now.
Well, take heart.
Thank you.
To be involved in the legislative process, but also we need to be involved in doing the kinds of things that you're doing as a teacher, that I'm doing in my role.
Yes.
We need to be change agents in the culture. And when hearts are changed, behavior is changed, and a culture can be changed. And sometimes it only takes one person, and you don't know who that person is. I mean, you look at Martin Luther, he was a great reformer. And as a result of what he did when he nailed 95 theses on the castle door in Wittenberg in 1517, we had a Reformation. We've seen revivals start with one person. So with God, one person is a majority. So we can't give up hope. We need to stay involved, not only in the legislative process, but in the process of changing hearts.
Thank you. Yes, I needed that. Nice shot in the arm. You have a blessed day.
You too, Colleen. Thank you so much for your call. And of course, when I talk about this marriage issue, if the state redefines marriage, we can expect to see marriage collapse as a public institution. If you think that's hyperbole or demagoguery or rhetoric, all you have to do is look at where I was born in Holland, where people wonder why marriage is even relevant. Redefining marriage strikes at the very foundation of liberty, of individual rights, even of limited government. Our government doesn't bestow rights on us. We get our rights from God. And a just and limited state simply recognizes and protects that which already exists. In other words, rights come from our nature. Our nature comes from God. And if you deny that, then you deny the basis for all other rights. Jay Richards has written about this very thing in a blockbuster article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. If you have not subscribed to the journal, you'll find that this journal is an eye-opener. That article in particular is must reading. By the way, I interviewed Jay Richards on that article on the Bible Answer Man broadcast some time back, and you can get that. You can download that from the web and listen to it, because it will blow your mind. If you don't think we're on the precipice, that article will point you to the fact that we are, but it will point you beyond that to the solutions, and you can be part of the solution. Why? If you're informed, you can show that this is not hate speech. This is common sense, not only for this civilization, but for all past civilizations as well. So we should learn from history. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Kevin in Louisville, Kentucky, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
I was wondering, if I have trouble memorizing scriptures or anything really, but I was wondering if you could give some tips and techniques that you use to memorize different verses of scriptures.
Sure. Well, remember, your mind is like a muscle. If you exercise it, it will increase in its capacity to remember and recall information. If you don't, it will atrophy. So I really think that this is a wonderful way to sharpen your mind. And the same thing happens with memorization, scripture memorization in particular, as what happens to the physical body when you go into the gym. But here's what I would say. Just like when you go into the gym, you set goals. He who aims at nothing invariably hits it. You make the goals attainable, because if your goals are unrealistic, you'll undoubtedly become discouraged and give up. I think it's very important to memorize with a family member or a friend or someone else, and then use normally unproductive time to review what you've memorized so that you can take what you've memorized from your short-term to your long-term memory. And I oftentimes do that while I'm falling asleep or while I'm waiting in a line. And there's no time like the present to get started. A good place to begin is Psalm 119, and particularly verse 11 of that passage. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And, you know, I think you can find other passages like this, like Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. So there's a good place to start for those that are struggling. A great place to begin is memorize Psalm 139. If you're struggling, well, I'll tell you what, it doesn't take much to memorize that, because those words will be like the balm of Gilead in your life. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Sherry, listening in Evansville, Indiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
My question is, I'm just a little confused about the God's elect and how a person would determine whether they are one of his elect. I was always raised to believe that anyone who genuinely repented of their sins and believed, you know, in Christ and tried to live by the Bible was saved. But I'm wondering now, I lost my daughter in a car wreck a couple years ago, and the only thing I could do was, you know, turn to Christ. And I feel that I'm very sincere about that, but the question has crossed my mind, am I choosing him or is he choosing me? You know, how do I know that I'm one of his elect?
Well, I mean, I think biblically, the one who is elect is Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what we see in Scripture. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1 in particular, you see that Christ is the elect one, and we are elect by virtue of being in Jesus Christ. And by the way, Paul makes that explicit in Galatians chapter 3, where he points out that Abraham only had one seed, not seeds plural, but seeds singular. That seed is Jesus Christ. And then if you were in Christ, Paul points out, then you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise, whether you're male or female, slave or free, Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter what your gender is. It doesn't matter what your station in life is. If you're in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So we are elect by virtue of being in the one who is the elect one, Jesus Christ. So all of those who recognize that they are sinners, repent of their sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord are his. And if you are his, no one will snatch you out of his hand. So I think the beauty of the gospel is that the wooing of the Holy Spirit is available to all of us. We can receive or we can reject. And therefore, our choices really do matter. And we are genuinely held accountable for our choices. Thus, in the end, there are only two kinds of people, as C.S. Lewis put it, those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God in the end says, "Thy will be done." all who genuinely seek after God will find him. He's not capricious, nor is he hiding from us. So if you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive him, you know that you are his. And furthermore, you know that you'll be united with your daughter in eternity, which is to say that your daughter has a DNA that will be resurrected. And if she had belief in Jesus Christ, if she wanted a relationship with Jesus Christ, then she too will be reunited in a glorified body in a restored universe with a resurrected Christ. And that is the hope that Christianity presents. Christianity, as I've said many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, does not give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, like the death of a daughter. But it does give us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the power and reality of resurrection. Because he lives, we too know that we will live. Going to have to leave it at that because I am up against a hard break. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And for information or resources discussed on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, please check out equip.org on the World Wide Web. The information is vetted, it's trustworthy, because we do what we do because truth matters. Be right back.
Hank's new book, Afterlife, will be off the presses in the spring, but you don't have to wait to learn his Bible-based answers to some of today's most controversial questions about life after death. In appreciation for your ministry support today, we'll send you a sneak peek booklet, Life After, Life After Life. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener-supported, so your gift today means more of the straight talk about the tough issues you've come to depend on. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Should Christians attend same-sex weddings? Would saying yes signal an endorsement? Would saying no signal a lack of commitment to the loved one? There are no easy answers. Other topics include confronting the apologetic challenges of a secular culture, reflections on the girl with the dragon tattoo, sci-fi, free will, and the problem of evil, Muhammad and the Messiah, comparing the central figures of Islam and Christianity, what has poetry to do with evangelism, robbing Paul to pay Peter and James, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. This attractive leather hardbound book is available for your donation to the Christian Research Institute. You can also request a personalized edition for a gift of $100 or more when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized, with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Christian Research Institute is a ministry dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and our website, equip.org. But to continue this vital mission, we depend on your faithful, prayerful support. If you see the life-changing impact this ministry is having, please join with us on a consistent monthly basis so that we can continue to equip believers with the tools to stand firm in their faith and reach around the world with the transforming power of the gospel. To partner with us on a monthly basis, call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Gerald, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, Gerald.
Yes, hey, how you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I had a question regarding the name, the sacred name that was placed upon, that was given to men by the Father. Now, a lot of people, you know, say God and Jesus, this, that, and the other, but my question is this. If God is a title, then what is the name that was given? Now, I've been doing a little research, and I came across the Tetragrammaton, YHWH, and you get the sounds Yahweh. And I've heard people say Yahweh and Yahshua for Jesus. And given that the J wasn't introduced into the language until, if I'm not mistaken, the 13th or 14th century, and the man lived before that, then how does that tie into what we're now calling him today?
Well, first of all, as you've correctly pointed out, YHWH are four letters, and there are no vowels, and therefore these are unspeakable letters in terms of pronunciation, and that was exactly the idea. The ancient Jews revered God to such an extent that they did not dare take his sacred name upon their lips. The name Yahweh carries with it the concept of eternal or everlasting existence and is not only applied to God, but it is also applied directly to Jesus Christ, because in Romans 10:13, calling on Yahweh and calling on Jesus Christ are equated, demonstrating that Jesus Christ is God. But it is utterly subjective to come up with a pronunciation like the pronunciation that you came up with. I mean, you add your own vowels and you come up with your own pronunciation. This is the Tetragrammaton for a reason. It is because these are unspeakable letters. So, look, there's no pronunciation. There's just four letters. The Old English Bibles printed it as Jehovah. The newer ones is Yahweh. It means I am. All other names for God are our names for him. This one, however, is his own revealed name for himself. Only I am can say I am. So many other ways of referring to God. Of course, we can refer to God as Adonai, which is the title of God, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But there's no magic whatsoever in the pronunciation as you've articulated it. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Sean in Pacific, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my question. I am the charter organization rep for my church for the Boy Scouts, or the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts. And there is a lesbian couple who is bringing their boy to Cub Scouts. And I'm not really sure how to handle that.
Well, I think what you want to do is be a great mentor for this boy. He probably needs great mentorship. He probably needs the wonderful values that you can give as a believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the opportunity that we have to be salt and light, to impact the culture and to help people come to a true valuation of things so that they're poured out in new and better fashion. So I think this is a great opportunity to seize the moment to be a witness. I mean, we are in a world. It is an evil world, and it always will be an evil world. There are times of repentance. There are times of great apostasy and rebellion. There are cycles in human history, but in general, we live in a cursed creation, and we're awaiting the liberation from bondage to decay, not only of our universe itself, but of our bodies and of the metaphysical aspects of our humanity. So we're looking forward to that time that Jesus Christ comes back and restores all things. In the meantime, we have to be faithful and fruitful and use every opportunity to let our light so shine that men may see Christ and as a result of that want to be conformed to his image.
Okay, so let the boy stay and just be an example. A loving
mentor. Well, not just. I mean, I think that is a very significant, a very necessary opportunity that you have been afforded to be an example to someone who likely needs a wonderful example. This is the one thing that we do in the culture. You know, in the early Christian church, which was born in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, Christians loved one another in such a way that the world looked on and said, wow, see how they love one another, and the love of Christ constrained them to come. So it wasn't a we-they-siege mentality against the world. It was transforming the world through the love of Christ. And of course, you know, that's exactly why God puts parameters around our lives to begin with. He puts parameters around our lives so that our lives might be complete. He's not a cosmic killjoy.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hank. That was a big help.
You're welcome. And, of course, we wrote about this whole idea of same-sex marriage, and we need to be very clear. We need to be able to concisely communicate what we believe and why we believe it in this regard. If we can't do that, we're not going to help. We're going to hinder society. Never before in Western history has the institution of marriage been in more danger. Most of the media, most of the elite culture make the claim that same-sex marriage is a matter of marriage equality. And if you oppose it, you're a bigot. Now, how many Christians can give a cogent reply to that? A reply that doesn't repel, but actually reaches. If you can't do that, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, which gives you all the ammunition to do that with gentleness and with respect. And this is not just a tangential issue. Marriage is a public institution with public consequences. And if it weren't, no one would be clamoring for same-sex marriage to be legally sanctioned. The reason we're having the debate is because, by definition, it's about public recognition, public approval, not private vows. Again, Jay Richards makes all of this plain in the Christian Research Journal. We'll go right back to the phone lines. Talk next to Greg in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, KQCV. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how you doing? I listen to your program all the time. My question for you today, I was just wondering what your take was on the Freemasons.
Well, it's the largest worldwide secret society, and I think the operative word here is secret. A lot of people don't know the permutations of reality communicated in the various rites of Freemasonry because they haven't dipped their toe deeply enough into the water. But let me say that this is a worldview that cannot be harmonized with a biblical worldview. In other words, their great architect of the universe, which is defined in any way you want to define them, as Allah, Buddha, Krishna, whatever, or their Bible, simply do not correspond to the God of the universe that is biblically discerned, nor does their Bible correspond to the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. In their view, while religions are many, religion is one, and therefore their men can come to their altars regardless of their gods. But there's only one true God, and there's only one true altar, and there's only one true sacrifice. So I don't think you can harmonize Freemasonry with historic Orthodox Christianity.
Okay. I'm just wondering, I know some Baptist preachers that was Freemason, and my grandfather was, and he died before I was born. My mother always told me that he said that it would be hard not to be a Christian and be a Freemason.
Well, we actually did an article on this, interestingly enough, particularly because of the deep intersection between some Baptist denominations and Freemasonry. And so, again, we devoted an entire article in the Christian Research Journal to this very subject. If you want to hang on, I'd be happy to send it to you.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phones. We'll talk to Doug next, San Francisco, California, listening on KDIA. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much. Great show. In Hebrews 1:14, it says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" I'm just wondering, how do they serve those who will inherit salvation?
Well, they do because they serve the purposes of God as His messengers. I mean, that's what we see throughout the biblical text. We see angels present at both the birth of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we have seen already in biblical history how angels have been used to manifest the power, the glory, and the purposes of God. And even in the Old Testament, we have angels who appear to Abraham along with the Lord when they're on appearing to Abraham on the plains of Mamre. We see angels as they're used biblically to protect Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. So, yeah, God has used ministering angels as the means by which to communicate to humanity His purposes, His pleasures, and His priorities for humankind.
Okay, and in other words, like, also in Matthew 18:10, where it says, Jesus says that, "For I tell you that, well, see that you do not look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you their angels in heaven will see the face of my Father in heaven." I've heard people say that every person has a personal angel. Is that true?
I think that's highly disputable. There is what I would call flimsy evidence in that regard. In other words, you have to make a theological deduction that borders on a stretch. But some people do believe that, and it's certainly a position held by Orthodox Christians. But again, I don't think that you can make an ironclad case for it biblically.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And as always, I want to remind people that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we can't do what we do. That's about as plain and simple as it gets. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We need you to be one of those that does just that. And we have a couple of incentives for you, which not only help the ministry financially, but also equip you in turn. One is the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. I'd be pleased to send you either that or my Creation Answer Book, your choice, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. And to those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you a personalized copy of either book. You can check this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. As always, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letters C or I. Be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
The things we accumulate over our lifetimes, money, personal possessions, and property, are simply gifts from God, entrusted to us to manage as His servants. When we as Christians create a will or trust, what we're really doing is planning to transfer stewardship of what God has entrusted us to others. For many of us, this may be one of the most important acts of stewardship we will ever undertake. We have made special arrangements for you to explore this stewardship responsibility. Visit our website at equiplegacy.org/EPO. There you will find the estate plan organizer. To learn more, go to equiplegacy.org/EPO. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return after this. It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way He'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener supported, so your gift matters. Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The greatest apologetic for Christianity is its founder. All that the Lord Jesus was, said, and did. A natural avenue for Christian apologetics to Muslims, then, is to contrast the words and works of Jesus and Muhammad. Other topics include, did Daniel accurately predict a succession of nations? Sci-fi, free will, and the problem of evil. What has poetry to do with evangelism? A summary critique. Lawrence M. Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. Arthur Goldwag's The New Hate, John Gribben's Alone in the Universe, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. This attractive leather hardbound book is available for your donation to the Christian Research Institute. You can also request a personalized edition for a gift of $100 or more when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Does Jesus have bluish-green eyes, brown hair, and a rainbow-colored horse? Little Colton Burpo thinks so, after experiencing the equivalent of a near-death experience at the age of 3. His experience is even the subject of a best-selling book. What's really going on with near-death experiences? Find out in Life After Life After Life, the sneak peek booklet for Hank's upcoming new book on the afterlife. It's our gift in appreciation for your ministry support today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Ever hear of Charles Darwin's Tree of Life? Well, according to Darwin's Tree of Life, humans and fruit flies share a common ancestor. Unfortunately, we're being taught that if we're in scholastic training. According to Richard Dawkins, a popular author, so do boys and bananas. Of course, that begs the question, what is Darwin's version of the Tree of Life? Well, I would say, first of all, it's an illustration. And as such, it appears and the origin of species to persuade the faithful that all species are, as Darwin put it, lineal descendants of some few beings which lived long before the first bed of the Cambrian system was deposited. And at the root of the tree is a handful of organic building blocks, and at the tips of its budding branches are all the modern species. So the tree has become an icon, and not just a icon, but the principal symbol of evolution. For multitudes, this icon has become the argument. The mere mention of it invokes devotees to bow deeply at the twin altars of common descent and natural selection. I should infer, the chief priest intoned, that probably all the organic beings which have ever lived on this earth have descended from some one primordial form. Well, that's just plain incorrect. In the geological period, designed Cambrian, the highest orders in the biological hierarchy appear suddenly and fully formed. As Oxford zoologist Richard Dawkins acknowledged, it is as though fossils were just planted there without any evolutionary history. And of course, that's precisely the case. Darwin's tree of life is not only uprooted by the Cambrian explosion, but the fossil record in general shows no evidence of the origin of species by means of common descent and natural selection. And this is one of the subjects I deal with in the Creation Answer book, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letter C. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Madison in Columbia, Maryland, listening on the World Wide Web. Hi, Madison.
Hello. I'd like to say I really love your broadcast. It's really neat. I'm only 9, but I really love your broadcast.
Thank you, Madison.
I had a question. In 1 Samuel, in the Old Testament, I thought it said something about God taking the Holy Spirit away from Saul and giving him an evil spirit to torment him. My question is, using that example, would God give the Holy Spirit back to him if he had repented to somebody who's... Would God give the Holy Spirit back to someone that he's already taken it away from?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think one of the things that we have to recognize is the general principle of infilling and indwelling. That's kind of the baseline. And here's what happens, Madison. When you become a believer, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So your temple becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit in biblical language. And once you are a believer, you are always a believer. And the reason is the one who justifies you is also the one who sanctifies you. So the one who begins the work in you completes the work in you. And that's why I oftentimes say the Bible never tells us that we must be born again and again and again. Rather, the Bible says that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. But there's also such a thing as the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that is an ongoing process, which is to say we're leaky vessels and therefore we're daily being empowered or infilled for service. Madison, every time I do the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I pray, Lord, infill me anew so that I can do what I do, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, to your specific question, Saul was the first king of Israel, and he was anointed to do the work of God as the king of Israel, the instrument through whom God would lead his people to be a shining city on a hill, a city that was supposed to be a light to the nations. But what happened was Saul abdicated his responsibility, and therefore that anointing left him. And I think that anointing is somewhat analogous to what I was talking about when I talk about infilling. And, of course, in the text that you're talking about, it's 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul and opened him up to be tormented by an evil spirit. And, of course, the term evil spirit can be interpreted as a spirit of depression or gloom, or, as some have interpreted, as a literal demonic spirit. And God can use not only an evil spirit as an instrument of his judgment, but he can also use unbelievers as the instrument of his judgment, as we see in the Word of God as well. So God allowed Satan to inflict hardship on Saul, just as he allowed Satan to inflict hardship on Job to prove faithfulness on the one hand with Job and unfaithfulness on the other hand with Saul. So I think that the idea we have here in the Old Testament is that the anointing left Saul. But if Saul was a genuine believer like David, whose heart panted after God, then the Spirit would never leave him in terms of indwelling, because we're, as I said, not born again and again and again, but we're only born again. And once we're born again, then the very one that redeems us also starts to change our life, daily conforming it to the purposes of God and the image of Christ.
Well, thank you so much. That was informative.
Well,
thank you, so much.
You sound like a brilliant 9-year-old.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was so nice to talk to you, Madison.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You are welcome. Wow. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Sandy, listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, listening on the World Wide Web. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, as that wonderful little 9-year-old said. She certainly has her manners as well as her brilliancy.
Yes.
I have a question for you regarding, I just learned about this yesterday, actually, the Geneva Bible. Are you familiar with that, sir? And seemed like it has something to do with the coming about of the King James Bible. It upset him.
Well, it actually predated the King James version of the Bible, I think, by 51 years. But yeah, the Geneva Bible, it was for the first time a mass-produced Bible available to the public. Of course, remember that at the time of the Reformation, there was a big consternation about whether or not we could put the Bible into the hands of the laity. On the one hand, you had Desiderius Erasmus of Rotterdam, who suggested that if such a thing happened, it would open or unleash a floodgate of iniquity. But you had Luther saying, well, if that is the case, so be it. And as a result of that, the reformers decided to come up with a principle to teach people to rightly divide or read the Word of God, which was called the analogy of faith. And it was always the idea of interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture and the cloudy in light of the clear. And not only that, but with the Geneva Bible, for the first time you had in history an English study Bible. It had scriptural study aids, cross-references, introductions to the books of the Bible, woodcut illustrations, and more. So it was a pretty revolutionary thing and did, as you point out, precede the commissioning of the King James Version of the Bible, which was 1604, and the completion, of course, was in 1611, and then there were three different versions in 1611. But now there's sort of an update of that, you might call it, the Reformation Study Bible, which is edited by R.C. Sproul. He's the general editor.
Okay. Familiar with that name? Thank you for that information. I would really like to get my hands on a copy of it.
Well, I think probably the best way to do that is to check R.C. Sproul's ministry, or you can go, of course, to the web and find it and order it online as well.
All right. Thank you so much for helping me. Again, thank you for your show. And I'm going to look at my little budget and send some money your way. And again, thank you so much for your help, and thank you for your ministry.
Well, bless you. Thank you for your help as well. I mean, that's, you know, that's what it takes. It takes a lot of people. You know, some people can give a little, some people can give a lot, but it takes many people together to make a ministry like this work. And quite frankly, we need the help of people financially and prayerfully now more than ever, particularly as we're now in the last quarter of the year. And during this quarter, we have to catch up because we are way behind. We had a couple of bad months, and now we have to catch up. And by God's grace, we will do that because we're committed to be fiscally sound. We only move as God gives us the opportunity to move. That's not a matter of faithlessness. It's a matter of prudence. But remember again, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you, and we ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. A couple of things that we can do is, first of all, if you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, as mentioned earlier on in the broadcast, I can send you a personalized copy of either the Creation Answer Book or the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, your choice. And for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I can give you a personalized copy as well. So either by giving $100 or more or by joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition or the Creation Answer Book, your choice. Also, do remember that we have a sneak peek booklet on life after life after life. It is a sneak peek on what's coming out in about 6 months with my Afterlife book, which is one of the most important books I've ever written. That book's already at the publisher, but it will not be on the presses until the first of the year, and it'll be coming out then. So we have a sneak peek booklet for your gift to the ministry. It's called Life After Life After Life. And again, you can order that in a safe, secure fashion as well with your gift on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. And also, as I close the broadcast, want to mention the Christian Research Journal one more time, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. If you're not subscribing presently, please consider doing so. I think it'll be revolutionary in your life. You can do that again in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Out of here for today. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just log on to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast on your computer or download archived broadcast. To talk to a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or you can write to us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way He'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener supported, so your gift matters. Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.